Welcome back to More Than Money. You're here with Rob and Leanna, and we have been joined so far for the first 10 minutes of this conversation by Ty Busada, who's a partner at Edgepoint Wealth, and he's sharing with us his perspective on investing in the current environment, what things look like out there, and it's been a really interesting conversation so far. So before the break, we were talking about that 60-40 balanced portfolio and some of the potential challenges that we see in that type of portfolio moving forward. Ty, first of all, welcome back. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here. Thank you.
Ty, you know, there's a lot of conversation in the market. Maybe we'll kind of switch gears here a little bit and talk about, we'll talk about the elephant in the room and momentum and where that's being driven from. We're all talking about AI technology and how much that's been added to indices. So maybe you can kind of give us your take on a current momentum in the market.
Absolutely. I would observe the same thing, that there seems to be a broad-based consensus about what everyone wants to own in the market, and people are plowing into that area. I think that consensus is really good in a lot of different industries. Before you walk into a building, you want consensus among those engineers on how to build the building, obviously. Or before you go in for a surgery, you want consensus among the doctors on how to do the surgery. But consensus in the investment industry has proven time and again to not be the investor's best friend, unlike a lot of professions elsewhere in the world. So the issue is when there is broad-based consensus around a particular area, if history is a guide, it's usually led to the opportunity for permanent loss of capital. Now, people tend to want to invest in line with consensus because it makes them feel comfortable to do what everyone else is doing. But if you look back over the last five decades or so, you've had a lot of situations where consensus investing has resulted in people not really being able to get to their point B. So I'll give you just very, very quickly a few of the highlights over the last 50 years of people making the mistake of investing in line with consensus when everyone was very excited about a particular topic. If you go back to the early 1970s, it was the Nifty 50. All you had to do is buy the 50 best companies in the world, or as perceived by certain people, the 50 best companies in the world. And had you invested in that and you fast forward a decade, you would have experienced permanent loss of capital. And then a few years after that, it was energy, because Jimmy Carter went on television and said, you know, my fellow Americans, we're going to run out of oil very soon. So, turn down the thermostats this winter and wear some sweaters. And what ended up happening then was everybody listened to the leader of the free world, and they ran out and bought energy companies because the leader of the free world at the time was saying, hey, we're going to run out of this stuff. You fast forward a number of decades after that, and you'd experience permanent loss of capital again. Again, the only mistake you made was investing in line with consensus. In the 80s, it was Japan, and everyone believed that the Japanese management style was going to be the only way to do business, and everyone was plowing into the Japanese index called the Nikkei. And 30, 35 years later, you'd experience permanent loss of capital. From that point, you still had a major money back after having accounted for inflation. Then you walk into the early part of the 1990s, and there was broad-based consensus that all you had to do was buy an emerging market, because emerging markets always grow faster than developed markets. And then 93 and 94, you had the peso tequila crisis in Mexico, and 95 through basically 98, everything from Brazil to Russia imploded. Again, your only mistake, investing in line with consensus, if you had done that. And then, of course, you ran into the TMT bubble, tech, media, and telecom, or the dot-com bubble in 99. And we all, I think everyone will remember how that turned out. It wasn't very good for people that invested in line with that consensus. And then probably you get into the mid-2000s, and you had a situation where in 2005, the Federal Reserve in the U.S. went out on television and said, the average house price in the United States never falls. And had you invested in, that advice, that didn't turn out very well. So it's very important, if history is a guide, not to just blindly invest with consensus, no matter how comfortable it is to do. What you have to do is find businesses that are going to grow in the future where you're not being asked to pay for that growth today.
So Ty, here's a question to kind of follow up to that. How do you kind of weed out the noise of consensus from what is actually, either real data or what you should be following when you're trying to invest?
It's deep fundamental research. So you do a lot of work on a business. So you read every piece of material you could get your hands on. You visit with the company management and the competitors that compete with that company. You go to the factory floors, you visit the call centers, you talk to industry experts that either used to work at the company or work for a competitor that used to work for the company or that just follow the industry. You do the work the end investor expects you to do to try and understand the business in a different way. And then you try and go out over the next 5 years and you project what you think the business can do. And in doing that, you come up with a level of profitability that you think the business is going to be able to deliver 5 years from now. And you put some sort of reasonable multiple on that profitability and you compare the price that you get by applying the multiple to the profitability to the price that the business is trading for in the market today. And if you could get a good return by comparing that price 5 years from now to the price today, you might have yourself a proprietary insight, a differentiated view that you could invest behind. So it definitely starts with a lot of fundamental work. It really doesn't end either after you buy it, because what ends up happening is as soon as you buy it, you start working on trying to figure out why you shouldn't own the business anymore. What have you missed? How is the environment changing in a way that you that is different than the way you originally thought about the business just before you bought it. So it's constantly trying to gather facts and apply reasoning to those facts.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people are very good about getting excited about buying something, but don't necessarily have the discipline or the think about when they're going to exit a position.
Yeah, Ty, I think this is an interesting one. We've been watching, let's say, S&P 500, NASDAQ hit all-time highs here, record highs over the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, obviously people are starting to think, okay, are we at the all-time highs? What do I do? So are you still seeing opportunities in the market at these all-time highs? And kind of where are those?
Yeah, that's another very important question. Thanks for asking. And if you look at the market, it's a collection of a bunch of different securities. And what's happening today is that the majority of the return in the market is being driven by a very narrow subset of those securities. And as you pointed out, a lot of that subset is made up of technology companies, but not exclusively. So there's an enormous amount of momentum or herding in that very small subsegment. So what that means is if you look outside of that subsegment of companies, there's lots of opportunity, because as people are herding into one area, that means they're neglecting other areas. And there's an opportunity to go out and buy growth and not pay for it in other areas. If you look at the valuation of the top 100 businesses in the United States and compare it to the valuation of the next 400, the valuation differential today is near all-time peaks, at least over the last 30 years, because that's as far back as the data goes that we have. So what that means is people are paying a much higher price for those large businesses, a lot of which, as you pointed out, are the tech businesses that sit at the top end of the NASDAQ. And when you get those valuation spikes like what we've seen, entry price ultimately dictates return. So if you're paying a very high valuation to get into a business, if history is a guide, what ends up happening is over time, your returns can be subpar unless that business continues to grow at a very high rate for much longer than the stock market expects them to do. Given the starting point and the size of some of these businesses today, it's going to be hard for them to do that. So long story short, in spite of the indexes hitting all-time highs, what you have to be able to do is look elsewhere and find opportunity. If you own an index, a lot of that index is likely made up of those companies that you were talking about, not only the NASDAQ index, but a lot of these businesses, these mega cap businesses with market values over $1 trillion, are represented in a lot of other indexes around the world. And for that reason, if you own an index, you really have to look inside of it and see what type of businesses are in there, because you might have exposure to a lot of these businesses at very high valuations.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for time today. We've been joined by Ty Busata, partner at Edge Point Wealth. Ty, thanks so much for your insights today.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure being with you.
Excellent. And we'll talk a little bit about investing for retirement at our next seminar.
You got us. Join us at our Calgary seminar Tuesday, July 16th, 7 p.m. in person at the Silver Springs Golf and Country Club. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com or connect with us on Facebook to register.
Okay, stay tuned for our next segment. We'll be talking about whether or not you have more retirement savings than you think you do here on QR Calgary and More Than Money.